Welcome to the 56th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney and I'm your host. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm a plant-based cardiologist living in Southwest Florida. I'm also an endurance athlete. Hopefully I have a marathon the first week of December out in California, the California International Marathon. I've got a little tendonitis going on right now, so I'm not sure what's going to happen, but looking like I might be able to hit the start line, so we'll see what happens. This is a Thanksgiving episode. I don't have any turkey disaster stories to tell you. When we were eating meat, our dog almost got the turkey one time, but luckily, since we've been turkey-free, there aren't too awful many disasters. Except last year, I think I forgot to put the field roast in, so we were sitting around and end up eating the field roast a little bit later. That's because we had so much stuff on the table. So, again, you know, when it comes down to what if plant-based people eat during Thanksgiving, so many things that you forget the field roast. I gave a couple lectures talking about Thanksgiving over the last week, and talked about the idea of, you know, what to be thankful for, and health, safety, and family. And usually the turkey doesn't come up, maybe because it's already on the table for most people, but people are really worried when I start talking no turkey for their Thanksgiving dinner. But I have a few recipes that, again, I've listed some recipes, what I eat on my website, not detailed recipes because, you know, after all, I'm just a cardiologist, and if you really want to find detailed recipes, there's a zillion out there. Unfortunately, my family, we cook pretty much as we go without much in the way of recipes, so just kind of get an idea and start putting things together, and it all does work out. So maybe that's the bottom line, is if you just start cooking, things will be great. You know, what we eat is online. A lot of recipes are out there. Forks Over Knives have a lot of recipes listed. I like One Green Planet. They have a recipe every day and list, you know, numerous recipes out there. Some of those you have to take out the oil. But, you know, you can always either leave out the oil or substitute flaxseed for binding. So don't worry about that. Just make sure you use vegetable broth instead of animal broth and flax seeds as a binder. You can use egg replacer, and your baking, you can use applesauce. We make our pumpkin pie with tofu and pumpkin and just use all the spices, and it thickens up. You can't even tell, and some almond milk in there. I've been really liking crusts made out of walnuts and or pecans with some dates. And yes, there's nuts, and that's a no-no when it comes to complete Dr. Esselstein-like reverse your heart disease, a little bit more lenient when it comes to Dr. Joel Fuhrman. So I'm someplace in the middle, and if you use about a half a cup of walnuts and 6 or 8 dates, and you're having a small piece of pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving, I think it's okay. So certainly better than the full fat variety with canned milk in the pumpkin pies and the butter in the crust. So you've come a long way, baby, if you're making pies my way. Even a pumpkin cheesecake with some either cashew cream or some vegan cream cheese. Yes, there's a lot of oil in that vegan cream cheese, and you can make it pretty high calorically dense. But if you're just going to eat a sliver and it's just going to be on Thanksgiving, I think we can pardon you like the presidents have pardoned turkey. And in case I didn't tell you last week, the trivia for pardoning turkey officially began with George H. Bush pardoning turkeys. But what I didn't know was why he did it. And there's still not a lot of data on as to why he did it, other than the tradition was sort of started by President Reagan when the Iran-Contra affairs were going on, and Oliver North was getting ready to be the debate over whether to pardon Oliver North. And so that year, Ronald Reagan pardoned a turkey as a joke during the pardoning. So he didn't pardon one the next year, but when George H. Bush came in, he made it a tradition. The background noise is Vincenzo. It's not my fault. Vincenzo the cat, that is. The interesting thing is that the turkeys that they pardon compete to be pardoned. And only the most well-behaved, photography-ready turkeys are usually pardoned. And so there is a competition from the different farmers that produce these large turkeys. Typically, these turkeys can be 45 to 55 pounds, which is unfortunate because these turkeys were bred to be big. It's not natural. Most turkeys in the wild are someplace around 15 pounds, you know, 8 to 15 pounds. And a turkey can live as long as 6 years. But because these turkeys are bred to be so giant, even when pardoned, they often pass away after about a year just because of the heart disease and lung disease and bony issues that happen to them. So it's kind of sad. It's a nice gesture. They get to go to Disney World, and then they go to a farm or a petting zoo to live out their life. It's unfortunate that even when turkeys are overweight, they don't have as near long a lifespan, just like humans that are severely overweight. They outgrow their joints and outgrow their heart and lungs and don't live a very long life. So don't be a big turkey. Be a wild turkey and live a long and happy life. So what can you do to get your greens on Thanksgiving? Certainly you can start your morning with a green smoothie. I would encourage everybody to go find a turkey trot to participate in or take a walk. It's a nice day to enjoy some outdoor weather before settling in to a day of cooking. But the greens can come in a variety of ways. I have like a salad with pears, figs, and arugula. Another favorite is bok choy salad with oranges and pomegranates and walnuts and some lemon juice. And of course, a tossed green, mixed green salad's always good for the table. So, you know, again, if you have a big, great salad like that, you're going to fill up a little bit before you get into some of these heavier, once-in-a-while type dishes, such as stuffing balls, which my family like, and we only make them on Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day, and maybe Easter Day. But basically, they're bread stuffing with onions and celery and with a vegetable broth, and they're baked. In a baking dish outside of, there isn't any turkey to bake them outside of, so they're baked, and we usually eat them alone and or with mushroom gravy that's really good. And so this year I buy a variety of different mushrooms and cook those down, and I don't puree them in anything. I just kind of cook them down and thicken them up and put them over the stuffing balls or mashed potatoes. And I make my mashed potatoes with some almond milk. We also have sweet potatoes and lima beans, and we thicken our lima beans. That's kind of a traditional Irish way, with again a little bit of milk and either cornstarch or arrowroot that you can do those with. And I'm going to be making a field roast this year, and we're going to stuff that with some walnuts and cranberries and see how that goes. I don't think I'm going to try to make it look like a turkey. I don't think that's probably necessary. So maybe we'll make it look like a football. That goes with Thanksgiving. And the first football game ever to be played on Thanksgiving was in 1934. So that's not a long-standing tradition either, if you want to say that you know, it's something forever from the first Thanksgiving, which was back in 1863 time. And I don't know if anybody missed last week's episode and I said it. I'm not going to listen to it again. But Sarah Hope was the one that petitioned Abraham Lincoln to have Thanksgiving made as an official holiday. I mean, she's the one that made the recipes, so she's the one responsible for the turkeys and the pumpkin pie and all the high, heavy foods that we traditionally have, or the feasts that are usually had on Thanksgiving. Maybe I should do some research and see how Sarah Hope's health was, if she ate all that rich food. Who knows? At least it wasn't factory farmed at that point, huh? I had the pleasure of doing a talk at Tampa Vegetarian Meetup, and happy to report that the majority of people there were plant-based. They had a wonderful array of dishes that conformed to the whole food, low-oil, no-oil, plant-based menu. So that was really, really exciting to get to join them in their plant-based meal. They had a great gathering. I think they have quite a large number. So I'd like to thank Michelle Odierny for inviting me. I had the pleasure of meeting with some people that I had met before, and then a lot of new faces. And one thing really exciting was they had a new pastor at the church, and because of their meetup group, he is becoming more and more plant-based, and looks like he'll be probably making the transition to a complete plant-based diet. So, you know, talk about paying it forward and helping each other. That's a really great thing. Because I think if the pastor of a church can change from fried chicken dinners or the traditional church meals to a whole food plant-based diet, just look how he can impact people's lives, both spiritually and their health. And they're probably connected anyway. So a healthy congregation is probably a more happy congregation and a more loving congregation. So it's a win-win situation for everybody. We have just completed the fifth class of the fifth class to graduate from my plant-based nutrition course. Again, they're 6 weeks long, and we go through the science of what plant-based nutrition is and how it works to reverse cardiovascular disease, and the how to menu plan, how to put things together, how to make the transition, and how to go on your journey. And everybody's supported in that class. And, you know, it's great. People participate and give what they've done and what trouble they've come across as far as having difficulty with their meals and preparation and how they've approached their family and friends. So it's been a very good experience for the people in the class. One day we go shopping to a regular grocery store and go up and down the aisles and talk about the different vegetables and what you can make and different recipes that people have for maybe some vegetables and greens that people don't or haven't used on a very frequent basis. We talk about how to make lunches, how to make things quick, you know, how to make more fancy meals as we go around, and then how to avoid some of the things that are on the shelves that might appear healthy that aren't really so healthy. You know, tomato sauce is one of those that you think, well, if you're getting a marinara sauce, you must be okay. But if you start to look at the ingredient label on the back of the marinara sauce, there's often multiple oils, and some of the sauces can be approach 40% of their calories coming from oil. So certainly that's not the way to go. So if you take a white pasta and marinara sauce, your nutrient density is really going down, your calories are really going up, and your fat's really going up. And it can be a reason why you're not seeing a drop in your cholesterol. When I looked at the number of people that have went through the class, I was really surprised to when I really looked at the numbers, how many people actually had become plant-based. And if they stuck through all six courses, their chances of being fully plant-based, or you know, if you look at a four-leaf approaching the three and the four leaves, we're really pretty high. Certainly, we got people into the leaf zone that weren't even there to start with, and got a lot of people up into the three range, and several people up into the four range, and they've managed to stay there, and their cholesterol have dropped, you know, over hundreds of points, and they've had, you know, weight loss and dramatic decrease in their symptoms of chest pain and shortness of breath. So it has been so much more successful than just me in the office saying you ought to change your diet and lose weight and exercise, because that really had no impact on people's health and happiness looking back. So I'm really quite honored and happy, and I feel fulfilled to look back on these classes that the people, again, that have stuck it out. And the people that, you know, quit after one or two sessions, you know, they came and they tried, and it might be their first attempt, and hopefully something will come along again that they'll give it a try again, and maybe get a little bit further the next time, and maybe they'll just add a few good things to their diet, and you know, maybe a few less bad things. So I don't know how, you know, those people will be impacted. I do want to take time to start calling people now that it's been over a year, and see where people are and how they're doing. Some of the people I get to see in our meetup group, and they're doing quite well. And it's interesting, those people that become 100% plant-based, they usually bring along some friends with them. So again, they're paying it forward, because I think a lot of, you know, if people are eating the standard American diet and their health is not good, chances are their friends' healths are not that good. So just by being around and seeing them become healthy, I think they become very much someone that people would like to emulate, and they're helping a lot of people without them knowing it. And that's got to make them feel good, that without even knowing it, they're impacting the lives of their friends and making them happier and healthier. So, you know, it's just all a good thing. That would never come about just by going to the doctor and getting a statin or a blood pressure medicine. You know, oh, I got the latest and greatest diabetic medication. You know, you ought to try it. It'll make you feel great. You know, that just really, really never happens. So this is just a good thing, you know, all the way around. And so I'm excited. The next class starts December 9th. And I was fortunate enough to be interviewed by a local newspaper, and the reporter was very gracious. He even went home and watched Forks Over Knives the night after we had our interview, and he was blown away by the information. He had some heart disease or high blood pressure and high cholesterol, and of course he'd never been told to consider diet as a means to get off his medication, so he was sold. And he wrote a fantastic article about me being plant-based and not going to have a turkey, and the group, and how well things are going. So it was a really positive article. And I've had so many responses and so many requests for the class that we're going to have two classes this semester. So I'm going to have two separate classes, you know, six sessions each. And you know, it's my goal that would be, you know, several days of my week would be doing nutrition classes and educating people, because I think that's the quickest way to get people off of their medications and to get them healthy. So that's certainly going to be a goal of mine in the next year, is to add more and more of those classes. I do want to announce that we will be having a day-long nutrition conference in Port Charlotte, Florida. It's actually, the location is Punta Gorda, Florida. It's all essentially one area, but it's Charlotte County, Florida, which is about 45 minutes south of Sarasota and about 45 minutes north of Fort Myers. And it will be an all-day-long nutrition conference. And we will have some fantastic speakers, some world-renowned, and I won't announce it tonight, but it will be coming out soon. So mark your calendars for January 23rd. If you'd like to get out of the snow and the cold for a weekend, we'd love to have you. There's multiple areas of where you can get a hotel room for the weekend. We can even help you set that up if need be. But we're going to have breakfast and lunch and speakers, and it's going to go all day long. And hopefully this will be the first of many day-long plant-based conferences in Port Charlotte, Florida, and Punta Gorda to come. So I'm really, really, really very excited about it. It's coming together. I can't wait to give you more information. Certainly it'll be on the website as it finally gets launched. Probably the first week in December, we'll make the official announcements and give you the schedule of speakers. And, you know, I think we'll be able to entertain somewhere around 150 people, perhaps. So if you'd like to come down, please get in touch with us. Oftentimes when you hear podcasts, especially plant-based nutrition podcasts, or people talk about plant-based eating, the doctor gets a bad rap. People talk that the doctors don't have any nutrition training. They don't care about nutrition. They don't eat healthy themselves. We're taught to fix people that are broken, not to prevent illness. And the whole system's kind of messed up and driven by the pharmaceutical industry and profit-driven and the whole nine yards and not supported by the government and on and on and on. But oftentimes it comes back to, you know, the physician ought to know better. And in a lot of respects, all of that is true. We all need continuing medical education. But nobody tends to look to continuing nutrition education. And I've got to say, since I've become plant-based and Forks Over Knives and Diet for a New America, I can't read enough, hear enough, even things that I know I don't mind hearing again and again, and different perspectives on some of the same information. And I'm continuously learning how better to present that information to people that are new to it. Will Tuttle, you know, talked about the angry vegan. You know, at first you become aware, and then you become overwhelmingly excited, and then you become angry that nobody else wants to play with you and be 100% vegan. And we all tend to forget that it was a journey for all of us. We just didn't wake up and clear out all the cabinets and start from day one for the most part. You know, I know in, you know, our household there was some stumbling and going out and ignoring things that, you know, ignoring the eggs that were in something and supposed to, you know, wouldn't eat the eggs, but wouldn't be that traveling, wouldn't be that worried about if there was eggs in something somewhere. And then eliminating the oil and backing down on those things. It took a while. And of course, the more you change your diet, the better you feel and the more you want to. Even Chef AJ and most, and again, most of the people that are the great speakers, you know, Dr. Esselstyn didn't become plant-based overnight, and Dr. Campbell's household wasn't plant-based overnight. And Chef AJ, her first book had, you know, a fair amount of dates and nuts in it, and she's honed things down. And, you know, we've all evolved, and, you know, it's your right to evolve at your speed as well. And, you know, I think that physicians are, you know, they're having to evolve too, maybe slower than the general population. But an interesting thing happened. My daughter is a student at West Virginia University, and she was given points to come and listen to a lecture presented by a registered dietitian from the Dairy Council. And she presented extremely biased information regarding dairy and children and nutrition, and basically made a plug that, you know, kids aren't getting enough calories, especially kids from poor households, so they need to be given dairy to get their protein. And you can see how people were swayed by this, you know, the thought of children not getting enough to eat and not getting breakfast and test scores being lowered because they're not getting adequate nutrition. It breaks your heart, especially this time of year, if you think that there's a kid in the United States that's not getting enough meal, or anybody that's going hungry in the United States, it breaks your heart. But they don't have to go hungry on a plant-based diet. And, you know, there's plenty of farmlands, and there's, you know, the in this time in West Virginia, there's a big festival called the Buckwheat Festival. You know, buckwheat is a great grain, but it's actually a West Virginia grain, and they have festivals, the Buckwheat Festival, where people go up and eat pancakes. Unfortunately, there's a side of sausage. But, you know, so these great grains are grown right there in abundance in the area. And, of course, there's plain old oatmeal, and there's beans that are, you know, cheap. And so how better to teach kids how to get nutrition or feed children with adequate nutrition and cheap. You know, you could send every kid home with a bag of beans and rice, you know, or a bag of beans and a bag of buckwheat. Wouldn't that be a great idea? It just came to me that I think that would be a really good idea, just to send kids home with a bag of beans. Because it used to be, you know, when I was small in West Virginia, they used to give cheese out. It was a government program to poor families, free cheese. And, you know, it takes me back to this dairy council woman, when she's sponsored by the dairy council. She's a registered dietitian paid by the university to give a mandated lecture on eating dairy. But wouldn't it be great if, you know, every kid in the school got, you know, a bag of beans or a bag of grain, or, like, again, the Buckwheat Festival gave kids buckwheat. It'd be kind of be like, you know, Arbor Day when, you know, I was growing up and we got little pine trees to go plant. And, you know, so it's a great idea. But it was very disappointing. You know, my daughter is vegan, and she had to sit and listen to false information for an hour on this person. And in addition, this person was significantly overweight, probably in the obese category. So, you know, she wasn't walking the walk of being a registered dietitian and getting good nutrients. So she was obviously unhealthy, and she was giving information that was going to propagate being unhealthy. And she's talking to all these young registered dietitians in training on false on this bad information. So it was very, very disappointing to hear. But you know, the nutrition school, the nutrition programs are very much supported by the dairy industry, the egg industry, and the meat industry. And so these people aren't getting adequate information either. And it's difficult, and part of why I started the nutrition program in my office as opposed to just referring people out is that I couldn't be safe with what information they were going to be fed, no pun intended, by registered dietitians who had been trained by sponsored dairy and meat industry people. So, you know, there's more and more registered dietitians that are plant-based, and at least, you know, recognizing the safety of a whole food plant-based diet, and that it's a great alternative, and at least learning of the data. So, you know, just because a dietitian says it, you know, they're biased as well, just like we're biased with medications. In the pharmaceutical industry, they've been biased by the cattle industry and the dairy industry, and the PepsiCo and the Coca-Cola industries. So it's really difficult out there to kind of see your way clear of some of this propaganda. So, you know, you really have to take care and, you know, use your common sense and realize that, you know, whole foods, plant-based nutrition is the way to go, and look towards sources that people look healthy and are healthy and that are practicing this. You know, I can't be more convinced. You know, I've been, again, this, we've finished 5 classes. People are coming off their medications. They're getting healthier. It never happened when I just did regular medicine giving medications. Never did it happen. Never did I take somebody off their diabetic medication. And the only way I took them off of blood pressure medicine, if they got old and frail and sick and they, you know, their blood pressure dropped, and, you know, it was, you know, actually a bad sign that things weren't going well. So, you know, I want to, you know, emphasize that, you know, do your own homework, listen to podcasts, listen to dietitians that are plant-based or that recognize that a whole food plant-based diet is good. Listen to physicians that are healthy and walk the walk. I even had a patient today that said she came from a primary care's office and she was told to eat more cheese and more milk. And, you know, I don't know why. This woman is diabetic. She's glucose intolerant. She has high blood pressure. So how's that possibly going to help her? But yet she was conflicted because she had a primary care doctor telling her one thing and I was telling her another thing. Luckily, I'd been her doctor longer, so she was in taking her through some things in her life that she had just a little bit more faith that, to keep, you know, keep with me and try to follow this. But it's very difficult for people to see their way clear when so many other people are talking about, you know, the benefits of eating dairy and cheese and yogurt and Greek yogurt. It's really, really very, very confusing. So stand firm and realize that a whole food plant-based diet is gonna take what it gets you where you're going and make you a lot healthier. So as we gather around the Thanksgiving table this year, I hope you're with friends and family. I hope you're not too pressured into eating something that you don't want. I hope you don't feel guilty that you're not eating someone's turkey if you choose not to. You know, it comes back to, you know, if you go around the table, what are you thankful for? I'm very thankful for my family. My daughter got in from West Virginia. She'll be here all week. And we were able to go wedding dress shopping and actually found one. And we had a good time. It was my mother and my daughter and I. And it was a great experience. And again, that night was capped off with a talk at the vegan meetup in Tampa. I'm thankful for my health and the health of my family. My daughter is fit and trim and healthy and energetic and feels as good as she's ever felt in her life or better. And is going to be a registered dietitian and a plant-based one at that. So, you know, I have no worries about her future and her healthy eating. And my son-in-law-to-be is on his journey becoming plant-based. And doing excellent in his career, and he's strong, and he lifts massive amounts of weights as a strength and conditioning coach and a power lifter himself. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud of him and how he's coming along in his career and how he's helping people and setting an example that you can be a strong athlete and be plant-based. And, you know, I'm thankful for my mother's health. She somewhat went plant-based kicking and screaming. And, you know, along the way, she would like to try to sneak out and cheat, or she'd actually like to try to get people to go cheat with her. Somebody came over the house, she would talk of, you know, foods of yesteryear and, you know, do you want to get this or we should get that? And the funny part about it, I would say, go ahead, you know, go ahead and have whatever, have a piece of fish if you want to have that. And she would eat it and she wouldn't like, she's, well, this is not very good, or they didn't cook it very good. And soon she just kind of gave up and decided that once she started eating whole food plant-based, she didn't want the other stuff. It the thought of it was great, but the actual taste wasn't good, and it didn't make her feel good afterwards. So she's setting an example for the people she plays golf with and the people she does Zumba with and the people that see her out about being very energetic. So I think that's fantastic. I'd like to also pay it forward. And if you can help somebody else out over the holidays, I think that would be really good. Maybe it would be send home somebody with a bag of beans or a casserole or some leftovers from your vegan entree. Or if you go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving, take vegan dishes that you can show that are really good. And sometimes, you know, you have to entice them with a little bit of something that's on the sweet side, maybe, or the dates. And you can go a long way with dates and some maple syrup or, you know, some really good vegetables or really good fruit dishes. So, you know, and entice them. Show off with your vegan entrees and your vegan desserts and your vegan side dishes that you take to people's house. Because not only will they get a spoonful of something more healthy than what they would have, they'll get a taste of what's really good, and it'll make them a little bit more curious. Because you know what, you know, they used to say there's no better way to a man's heart than through his stomach. I think a lot of us are like that. So, you know, you can get to the heart of the matter and get more people on their plant-based journey if you can make something taste really good and fill them up and have them taste something that's really, you know, rich, nutrient-rich, and that tastes good as well. So I would encourage over the holidays the people to, you know, think about doing something along those lines. I know that the group that I spoke at Tampa, they were going to do a cookie exchange, and they were going to do no oil, salt, you know, cookies, and no butter or eggs, and they were going to have a vegan cookie exchange. And sure, there's going to be sugar in cookies, and, you know, there's kind of no way around it. Or, you know, I mean, you can always make less sugar and dates and things like that. But again, it makes it a little bit healthier if you're doing it that way, and makes people a little bit more aware that it can be done that way, and that, you know, these sticks and sticks of butter rich things that people post aren't necessary and they're not healthy. So, you know, once people get an idea that they can have a really, you know, they can have a tasty dessert, but it be good and healthy, they're more likely to, you know, not want to do these high butter, high egg, high fat things. So maybe consider doing a cookie exchange with your group, or even a vegetable exchange, or, you know, a potluck in your area, or to your church when you go to the potluck, extra vegan dishes. I think that would be a great idea. So I think we're probably going to close it out pretty soon. I do have Dr. Greger coming on in December, so that'll be a very, very entertaining interview. He has a new book out, How Not to Die. It's a real thick book, and it's fantastic. So if you all haven't purchased it, I would encourage you to get or pre-order a copy of How Not to Die, and then we'll talk about that certainly during his next interview. If anybody looks on my website and sees some of those dishes and really can't find the exact recipes on how to make them and they want some more details, feel free to email me and I'll just email you back with it. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. And my website is drdulaney.com, drdulaney.com. And, you know, I'll be happy to, you know, put some more detail into those recipes. But none of them are too hard, and you can probably figure them out on your own anyway. Oh, I forgot to put that on there about cranberries, you know. So we just boil the cranberries and have oranges and walnuts and a little bit of agave to sweeten it to taste a little bit, and some celery. So that's our cranberry dish. So if you have any questions about the email site or anything to add or anything in general, and certainly I'll keep you up to date about the ongoing conference that'll happen January the 23rd. Please keep in touch over that. And I'd love to have as many people. I mean, anybody in town is fantastic, but boy, it'd be nice to have some people from out of town come in. I promise we'll show you a good time here in Port Charlotte, point you out to some places to visit and see. And it's, you know, it may be a little cooler in January than it is right now, but it's always sunny. Very, very little chance of rain. So I'd encourage you to come down and visit. And I guess, you know, the last thing I forgot to talk about was my garden. You know, we're this morning it was 55 degrees in Florida, which is a cold front. We had some rain over the weekend, and so I have cucumbers and yellow beans and squash coming on. Tomato plants are getting bigger. Pepper plants are getting bigger. My herbs are doing well. I've got some Swiss chard on the way, some arugula on the way. So things are coming along in the plant world. So it's a fun time. It would be really exciting if I had a bean out of the garden for Thanksgiving. I don't know that I'll make that or not, but certainly Christmas time, I should be able to have some of my harvest during Christmas. So that's really, really exciting. So I encourage you to grow some of your own herbs. Get a basil bush started. They're easy. Get rosemary. You can't hardly kill them. Always makes for a good salad. Arugula is really easy to grow just in a planter. You can probably grow it in the windowsill. So do that. It add extra fun to your dishes. It's great to put the basil and fresh basil in different dishes. Spices things up. So do that and enjoy yourself. I hope everybody has a wonderful, healthy, and happy Thanksgiving. I hope it's plant-filled. I hope you pass it forward and maybe spark someone else into adding a few more plants and maybe a lot more plants into their diet. So if there's anything I can do to help you, please let me know. And until then, happy Thanksgiving. See you next week.